Welcome to Community Conversations, a monthly program on KUMD dedicated to fostering community connections. Tonight's topic is voting and elections, because tomorrow we go to the polls to cast our votes for some very important decisions in our community. It may not be swamping the nightly news, but it's the kind of election that considerably impacts our lives. Local government provides the day-to-day services we rely on: schools, transit, water, waste, and sewage disposal, fire, police. These services can directly affect the quality of life and our bank account. And these services often impacted by these local elections. Tonight, we welcome three nonpartisan organizations to share perspectives on elections, voting access, and civic responsibility. Tuesday, November 5th, Minnesotans vote in local elections in Duluth, City Council, School Board, County Commissioner, and school funding referendums.
My name is Don Dicklich. I'm a St. Louis County auditor. And of course, St. Louis County, everybody, it's a big organization, primarily well known for providing services in the area of public health and human services. Our public works department manages, maintains, and constructs 3,000 miles of roads. The sheriff's office, of course, provides public safety throughout the county, as well as we run the jail, and a number of other services throughout the county, of course.
My name is Rosemary Gutormson, and I'm a longtime member of the League of Women Voters Duluth. League of Women Voters Duluth has probably close to 300 members, and we do a lot of voter service and voter education. And I'm also an election judge, and I have been in the city of Duluth an election judge for about 25 years.
And my name is Steve Wick, and I am the campus organizer for MPIRG, the Minnesota Public Interest Research Group chapter here at UMD. And we are a statewide nonpartisan nonprofit that's run by college students.
Thank you for being here. Let's start with the basics. Why do you think it's important to vote in local elections?
Well, like you said at the beginning, it's really important for these local elections because of the many decisions that affect all of us in our everyday lives here in Duluth. These are the decision makers that are going to be deciding how, you know, tax dollars are spent locally for those very services that you mentioned at the beginning, as well as, you know, making the ordinances and rules that affect, you know, for college students in particular, you know, rental housing availability. They're going to be deciding things about, you know, how to beautify our parks and the services that we have here.
Rosemary, how does the League work to raise awareness about these smaller elections?
Well, we try to have as many forums as we possibly can. The League has co-sponsored this year several school board forums and city council forums. And like Steve said, it's important to, these local issues are important to us because, you know, if something's wrong in our neighborhood, the neighbors are too noisy, somebody's dog is barking, the garbage isn't getting picked up next door, you go to your city council. And you also live in a community where you want your kids or grandkids to have quality schools. So voting on a school board election is important. And we're also in November having the primary for the 2nd District St. Louis County Commissioner. And I don't know if a lot of people have realized that yet.
Don, maybe you could talk about this year's election and how it differs from a big election year.
Well, great question. Because let me just say, as an election administrator, taking a little bit bigger perspective on the issue of local elections is, you know, that's our grassroots democracy, is at the local level. That's really where our election concept at the higher, our democratic concept at the higher levels, whether it be going up to the county level and then up to the state level and on up to the federal level. You know, this is really our grassroots. This is the basic foundation of our democracy. So I find it very important. I think it's very important for people to be engaged, understand what's going on in their community, and these local elections are where that starts. But you're right, at a higher level, election administration our involvement really for the county. We do work closely with the cities in their local, in the school districts, in their local elections and assist them. But we are only election administrators at the county level and above. So these local elections are really being run by your local officials, and all the more reason to be involved yourselves in them as well. We do have a unique opportunity on November 5th in the City of Duluth election. As Rosemary mentioned, we do have a primary for the County Commissioner District 2 race, and typically you wouldn't find that county race in an off-year election, but due to the unfortunate loss of Commissioner O'Neill this year, we do have this opportunity for the citizens of Duluth to get out and make their, at least in the second district, make their wishes known in that primary for the following general election, which will be occurring on January 14th.
Being what they call an off-year election, what do you expect for turnout this Tuesday?
But as you talk about off-year elections and the turnout, it is very difficult to get voter turnout generally in these local elections. I would say that I do feel that the local newspaper, the Duluth News Tribune, does a good job of covering it. We do have a very active League of Women's Voters here in the City of Duluth, as Rosemary talked about, and along with some other groups that really do a good job, I think, of getting out there. I did go back and look at some statistics, and in the 2009 off-year election, in the City of Duluth, we had 20,621 voters. In 2011, very consistent, 20,731 voters. We did have a mayoral election, but of course, in 2011, but the mayor was unopposed. So I don't know. Sometimes, you know, if you have if you have more competition out there at these higher levels, it usually raises a little bit more voter awareness, et cetera. In that year, we didn't see it that much. So it's hard to tell if the mayoral election. I think typically if you have a good mayoral race going on, that you may be able to get some more people out to the polls.
This is for Rosemary. Do you think the school board referendums, the funding referendums, might get people to the polls?
That might. I know as an election judge in September, the primary had very low turnout. I'm in a precinct in Eastern Duluth, and it was probably not even 20%, whereas for a presidential year, we'd probably be in the 90 percentiles. But yeah, I think a lot of people, we've had some turmoil over the past years with schools, and we have some wonderful new buildings, and there is a levy question, two questions. There will be two questions on the ballot. One is to have to renew the current rate of funding schools, and there would be no tax increase. The second one is to raise the payment, your tax payment, and so that for levying schools, and so that one would be an increase in taxes. So it's a two yes or no answers. So there's material been sent from the school district, so I'm hoping that people are reading it.
And Don, it costs the county or city the same whether we go to the polls or not, right?
Well, that's exactly right, because the primary costs are the ballots, election judges, and those are your primary costs, and those are going to be the same. And if you were to talk to Jeff Cox over at the City of Duluth, you know, he's got to have all those polling places arranged for and set aside, and you know, there's a lot that goes into preparing for an election behind the scenes that the average person isn't aware of. But they do a great job in the City of Duluth. We work closely with them. In preparing for this county commissioner race, I was worked very concertedly with the county board to try to get the primary scheduled on the same day as the general for the City of Duluth, hoping that would bring up voter turnout, and not only for the city races, but also for the county commissioner race, especially for that primary. So we get the people have a voice, really have an opportunity to come out and pick their best candidates for that general election that's going to happen in January for that county commissioner seat.
How versed do you think voters are about this election? There might be students who don't even know there's an election, Steve.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things that we've been trying to work on this past semester so far through our organization and working with our partners here on campus to really get the word out that there is an election. So we've been working with housing and we've been working with the student government here and with the vice chancellor of student life and trying to really get that word out and get students registered to vote. We just had a forum on October 22nd here on campus. It's one of those events where, you know, we're trying to get as many students out there and into situations where they can find out that there is an election going on. It's always tough. Unlike in a presidential year where the fact that there's an election is filling up every kind of airwave possible, whether it's, you know, through the internet or on TV or on the radio. You know, in years like this, when you've got candidates who are spending just a few thousand dollars on a race, you're not going to see a bunch of TV ads. You're not going to hear a bunch of radio ads. You're really only going to find a few letters to the editor in the newspaper and maybe an event like that forum or maybe a fundraiser somewhere, but that's really about it.
Let's talk about the differences in between generations and their involvement in the political process. Rosemary, you're an election judge. Talk about that if you would.
Well, when I started to be an election judge, I did not have gray hair. I was much younger then. There are a lot of gray-haired people at the polling places, a lot of retired people. That's because, you know, we've got a retired UMD professor, retired teacher at my polling place. So we're an able-bodied group. And there's some new, the voters should come out and try out the new electronic tabulators for vote counting, too. They're really the highest tech thing you can get, very secure, very safe. But I enjoy having high school students come during some of the major elections, presidential years elections, and help us out. We usually have one or two students at our polling place from the high school, and they learn about being an election judge and get some credit for it, get the day out of school. And they realize what a long day we put in from being there at 6 a.m. to open the polls at 7 and keeping them open till 8 and then closing down and usually getting home about 9 on a good year. I would encourage anybody that's interested in being an election judge to either call Jeff Cox at City Hall or the St. Louis County Auditor's Office. And it's, you get paid. And you meet your, if you're in your own neighborhood, you get to meet all your friends and neighbors, and that's kind of enjoyable.
Is that something that college students do?
Yes. So in the past, we actually had some students who have done it. It's some that we definitely promote, some that I promote. We have information in our office for students who are interested in it, and we try to get them out there. But it is one of those things where it is an all-day commitment, and sometimes some college students find that to be a difficult thing with their classes and, you know, other jobs they might have and other things going on. But it's definitely an experience that I think young people who are especially interested in the election process, the democratic process, for them to go and be a part of, because there is so much that you can learn by being there all day long that you just would not know about otherwise.
Our guests tonight on KUMD Community Conversations are Don Dicklich from St. Louis County, Rosemary Katormson from the League of Women Voters, and Steve Wick from UMD's MPIRG. Minnesotans are a pretty engaged bunch. What does Minnesota do to reduce barriers to voting and to overall election participation? We know Minnesota historically has a high turnout.
And that's true. Minnesota has really been on the cutting edge of elections and access to the polls, etc. And what I mean by that is, you know, that the election day registration law that we have here in Minnesota, you know, we're not alone in that. There are 11 other states that have that. So, you know, and I look at that, geez, there's 12 of us out of 50. You know, we're getting close to 25% of states have that, and I think that's very important. Other things that Minnesota has done, I mean, you can be released on election day. You can be released from your job without losing pay to go and vote. And I believe that, you know, we were talking about election judges before, and typically we've had our seniors out there helping us. And, you know, we're very thankful to them for the role that they've played over the years and continue to play, because they've come out and done the job. They've had the time available, and that's typically why many of them have become election judges, because they had the time available and they were willing to participate in it. But, you know, I think there's a law out there now. We're encouraging more people to come and be election judges. I think if you are an election judge now, you still can be, you're still paid by your employer. So Minnesota's doing things to make it easier and improve that election process.
And here in Minnesota, there are efforts to make the polls accessible for everyone.
All the polling places are handicap accessible. And if someone cannot even walk into the polling place, judges are authorized to go to the car. I don't know if people know that, but you can send your friend in and say, she can't come to the inside. We will go out there and with a ballot and privacy folder, and the person can vote in the car, and then we'll deposit it in the tabulator. And also, we have, you know, a lot of places it's, you know, it's also hard to vote ahead of time, and here you can get absentee ballots. I'm going to be out of the country on election day, so my husband and I will go down to the city clerk's office next week and vote before we leave. And last year, we in Minnesota, we voted down the amendment on voter ID, and League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization, but we do take positions on issues that we've studied, and we have studied voting for our whole 90 some years of existence. So we did take a position on voter ID, and we're happy to say that it was defeated in the state of Minnesota.
And to add what you were saying about the absentee voting, Minnesota this past spring, they actually passed what's now called no excuse absentee voting. So before, you had to come in and you had to have a reason or tell a white lie to get your absentee ballot. Now you can just go and say, you know, I'd like to vote absentee in person beforehand, and you can get that taken care of. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention was that recently the Secretary of State's office opened up a system for online voter registration. You know, we're past the time now for the pre-registration, all of that. But you can vote tomorrow on Election Day. There are, you know, certain qualifications, you need to bring in some material to prove residency and prove identification, things like that. But the point being, beforehand, you could have voted or you could have registered both in paper or now online with this new system.
So voter registration online now.
Yes, that's exactly right. And Minnesota joins 15 other states, so we're not alone in that either. But, you know, its time has come, especially since we've been so progressive in the rest of our voting laws. And what I mean by that is, you know, the election day registration and those types of things. You know, Minnesota allows for our rural residents. I know that we're kind of focusing on the local area here, but we have mail ballot voting for those people that are in rural areas. You know, Minnesota, St. Louis County in particular, we have a lot of mail ballot townships. They're unorganized areas, and in fact, we have four unorganized areas that have polling places just because well populated, and yet the residents in those areas have not chosen to organize their township, so they're in unorganized areas. But nonetheless, we run polling places there. So Minnesota does a lot of things like that. But this online registration, you know, it's becoming, you know, the use of technology is being very helpful to especially our overseas voters, you know, especially our military people, as well as other people that serve this nation in other capacities overseas.
Steve, can you talk about the work of MPIRG and what it does to get younger voters to the polls?
Through MPIRG, what we do every year before an election is we go and we do what we call class wraps, so class presentations on the upcoming election. You know, what is going to be on the ballot? You know, who is going to be on the ballot? If we know at that point, what that all means, what these various rules do, and how students can get registered to vote, and as well as find out more information on the candidates themselves if that information is readily available at that time when we do those presentations. And we do all that in part because we want to really get more students involved in the local process. Like, as you said, they do live here at least 9 months out of the year now. This is more or less their new home. For incoming freshmen, we always tell them, you know, hey, you're probably going to be here for 4 years. The people that are elected in this election are going to be in that position probably for that entirety of 4 years, if it's city council or if it's mayor, whatever it might be. And those people are going to be making decisions that are going to affect you for that entire time. So you may as well, you know, educate yourselves and have a voice in that process. And then for students who, you know, were heavily involved maybe back in their hometowns, we help them find out about absentee voting and how they can get absentee ballots mailed to them from wherever they were from. And we go through that process just because we want students to be engaged.
And I think that's really great, the work that Steve and the group are doing with the students, because I remember back as a student back at the University of Minnesota, I always voted absentee in my home district, so because I knew what was going on there. And of course, the University of Minnesota, you're in a big, the Twin Cities area, pretty hard, but didn't really know that much about the politics going on there and was very familiar with what was going on back home and wanted to vote in those elections.
How well do you think students are versed in their choices for this election?
Well, there's some really well-qualified candidates running this year. I've been to the forums, and there's some really good people. And if they haven't gotten to a forum, there's been information in the Duluth News Tribune that probably is online. There's also vote411.org, which is a National League of Women Voters site, and you punch in your address, and that will link you to where your polling place is. And then from that site, you can also get into the Minnesota Secretary of State's website, and there they will have all the candidates listed, and the two questions will be also listed, so you can see what a sample ballot would look like. It doesn't give you information on the candidates. In a larger election, League of Women Voters of Minnesota would probably have an additional page on their website with candidate bios and questions.
So any other tips for preparing for voting for tomorrow?
Go early in the day if you haven't registered. It takes a little longer to register. I don't think it's going to be a big problem with this election, but we'd like to have a lot of people register. And don't wait till 7:45 to show up at your polling place. You may have gone to the wrong one. I've had all kinds of experiences with people trying to vote and, you know, running all over in a short period of time to get there before 8 o'clock. But I hope people will find a way to become informed and vote tomorrow.
And I would say if people are wondering, where do I vote? Where's my polling place? We already talked about the Secretary of State's website, but I would say also you can go into the St. Louis County website and get into the auditor's section under elections. And we do have a link to the Secretary of State's website there. You can put your address in. It'll tell you right. It'll give you the address of your polling place.
And an easy website or an easy way to get to the Secretary of State's website is just go to mnvotes.org. That's the site that I tell students about all the time.
Let's end tonight. Share some parting words that would encourage people to go to the polls tomorrow.
Well, this is really the foundation of our democracy. And if you're really interested at all in what's going on, you know, everything that these local officials do, they impact your daily life a little bit more directly and immediately than those things that are happening at the federal level or even at the county level and the state level. So I would say, get engaged, pay attention to what's going on. These decisions that these local officials make do impact your daily life, and they're your tax dollars. So get out there and get involved, learn about what's going on, and participate in the election. And, you know, it's one of those things that we as Americans, you know, it's a right, but really it's a privilege to be able to vote. When we think about that as citizens. But citizenship works both ways. It requires something of us as well.
I would agree with that. It certainly is a right, but we should not take that lightly. And the League of Women Voters is trying to find all kinds of opportunities to educate voters. We've did some work with transient housing people. And if you think of it, you know, the homeless are really affected by what happens locally. And who's doing the policing of the streets, who's manning the shelters. And so it's very important to have voters from all segments of our society become aware of what's important in the community and how they, as a single individual, can affect it. It's not probably, I can't, there are probably elections that you could run off that have been won by one vote or something, but here it's more a personal responsibility, pride in your community, that you are part of that community. And participating in the running of your city services and your school.
And also, you know, and you were touching on this, that unlike in a presidential election year where, you know, your votes, let's say for president, are going towards, you know, who's going to then be a part of the Electoral College and how those votes go in that, you know, that skewed system like that. You know, these votes here at the local level really are, you know, your vote counting towards that candidate. You know, this is one of those situations in our democratic process where your vote really does count so much more. And also, because these local elections, because we often see lower turnout numbers, so, you know, that 20,000 that you might see in one of these years, you know, you're one of then 20,000 voters taking part in that process. And that's unlike, again, in a larger election year, we might see in Duluth, you know, 66 or 70,000. So you really are making your vote count in that sense.
Well, it, you know, just taking off on that also, the thought that, you know, as we vote at the state level and at the federal level, sometimes we feel like our vote, as Steve was mentioning, doesn't count as much, or that we as common people aren't heard as much, especially at the federal level, when you think about all the money and all the influence that's spent out in Washington for influence by large corporations or other organizations. You don't have that at your local level. You know, going back to Steve's point, your vote really does count and mean something here, and you have influence just by participating. And I would just add, you know, we talked about the voter turnout in these off-year elections, and notwithstanding the fact that these are off-year elections in Duluth, the turnout is still pretty good. You know, right now, today, the registered voters in the city of Duluth are 52,691. In the school districts, a little bit bigger because it does take in a few townships, et cetera, outside the city, and there's 57,643 voters registered today. So 21,000 voters out of that. You know, it's not a bad percentage, but let's get it up, people. Let's get it up to around that 80, 90%. We'd like to see it like we do in presidential election years.
That would be terrific.
Thank you all for joining us. Voting opens Tuesday, November 5th at 7 a.m. Thank you to our guests tonight, Don Dicklitch from St. Louis County, Rosemary Katormson from the League of Women Voters, and Steve Wick from MPIRG. Community Conversations is produced at KUMB by Lisa Johnson, Maya Jensen, and Chris Harwood, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.